And I ain't hit no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rapper's Guide Podcast, episode 60. It's your host, Iggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And today we want to talk about the look, like fitting your look to your music, and how well do you do that? Early thoughts on it.
Just honestly, same thing we kind of always say when it comes to anything within your artistry, kind of be genuine and natural with it. And don't try to chase after a look or chase after the persona of what you feel like you should look like. More so just look like what you look like and kind of have that come out through you being you. I definitely had a hard time with that, trying to figure out like my look or whatever the case may be, because I never was a fashionable guy or like, you know, all the fashions, clothes and everything like that nature. But eventually I just figured out, you know, sweatshirts, shirts.
It works for your music. Hats.
It works for what I do. Yeah, exactly. Right.
I think that we're past the point where you can't make it if you're unattractive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do think it helps in the entertainment industry to be an attractive person. I think that you have a step up. I know that sounds shallow, but it's just a fact. You know what I mean? But I think that the way the world is working now, as far as music goes, and with so many independent musicians and so many different styles, and there's 60,000 tracks dropping a day on Spotify. Not every one of those people looks like a fucking Vogue model.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But people figure out a way to fit the look. So an example I gave to Bales before we started the episode was like, if you're an underground gritty rapper, like I expect you to look more like West Side Gunn than I expect you to look like G-Eazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you look like G-Eazy, you might need to change it up a little bit. You know what I mean? And that's why, like you said, be yourself. I think sometimes being yourself doesn't always result in what would work for your style of music. Mm. For instance, I've always felt like when I was in the room with the people who make music similar to my music,
mm-hmm.
I always felt like I was way too, and this sounds crazy because I'm tattooed all over and shit, but I was always way too clean cut and like jockey.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Where like, those dudes, like, they wear, like, vintage clothing, and they're always in, like, thrift shops.
And in the boom-bap world, instead.
You feel
yeah.
me? And, like, I understand that's the look for that shit. It's mm-hmm. just not how I dress. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like I fit that mold of musician, you know? I don't feel like I fit the look of that musician, rather,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that was always a problem for me, finding out the look. You know, like, I don't think that I match my look with the way that I rap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's difficult, you know, when you're trying to, like, a lot of the stuff that we talk about on this episode comes from our experiences and, like, what we've done wrong rather than right, you know? So, I think I was very stubborn coming up. I think that if I knew I had to do this, I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck about how I dress because I could rap really well. So instead of them caring about how I look, let me just woo them with my raps.
Mm-hmm.
But like everything's visual.
Yeah. And it's marketing.
Like there's a lot of visual aspects of this. What's his name? Ari the other day posted, Ari Herstand. He has great books. He posted the other day that 80% of music consumers said that the first thing that they remembered about an artist was the visual aspect of them. So he said, even if you sound like whoever, if you look like Weird Al Yankovic, that's what they remember. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a fact. Like, they'll always remember what that artist looked like before they remember the sound or the beats or whatever, you know? And that's why it's important to... You don't have to go out and spend money on Gucci, right? There's
no.
ways to look fashionable without having to spend that amount of money.
Or you're just buying a fade like people normally do.
Like, if you dress in, like, beat-up hoodies and fucking, you know what I mean? Like, maybe if you're an underground rapper, that could work.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, that's probably not going to work in the entertainment industry. So you have to figure out a way to, like, outfit yourself a little bit better. Even if it's not for everyday life, it could just be for your music videos, for your shows. Like, I used to perform a lot. And when I would perform, I would go to a store mm-hmm. earlier in the day. I would pick up an outfit for that night. And I would perform with that outfit on. I still rocked the outfits after, but like the sole purpose was how can I look the part when I go on that stage? So I made sure I had a new outfit. Everything had to fit well. Everything had to look
a certain
correct.
Way.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I did that religiously before shows. You know what I mean? I think that artists need to put some emphasis on that because, again, the visual part is what they're going to remember. You know, if you're not attractive, you could be the flyest person of all time and they will remember. Like, say you came in rocking some rare-ass sneakers that no one really has, right? That's like an immediate thing that they'll look at and they'll be like, oh, shit, he has those J's. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of it's like kind of the same thing like when people, you know, back when we were like in high school and shit, and you're trying to like figure out, yo, how can I get to the cool crowd? You're like, oh, Jordans. Instantly your mind goes to, let me just throw on some Jordans and like putting them things on. But for the most part, sometimes you're like, all right, let me just do something else or just stay with, what'd you say in the song, Stan Smith's?
Stan Smith's.
Yeah, if you feel like that's what you rock, that's what you're going to rock. And then people, you know, who like those type of sneakers are going to gravitate towards that shit too. Like, I don't like the Jordans. And I'm the same way. I'm a Puma head.
There's people that fuck with Stan Smiths, like, religiously. Like, mm-hmm. That's what they wear. They wear Stan Smiths. So, me mentioning that in the song is speaking to that crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When I'm talking about Stan Smiths, the people who don't know what a Stan Smith is and rock J's, if you rock J's, I'm pretty sure you know what Stan Smiths are.
I don't know what they are.
The Adidas sneakers? Okay. They're Adidas sneakers. They look like shell tops, and they have, like, the green panel on the back.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Then. Yeah. I know they always call Stan Smiths.
Yeah, those are Stan Smiths. He's the guy who, like, designed them.
No, okay.
Okay, but like if you're a sneaker guy, you know what a Stan Smith is.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I'm saying that on a record, I'm speaking to that crowd of people. You know what I mean? If you're mentioning brands on a record, you know, like the easy ones are to always go for the high fashion brands. Oh, I'm rocking Louis. I'm rocking Gucci. I'm rocking whatever, fucking Givenchy. But like, I think it's cold if you start mentioning some like underground shit. Like I said on the same song, I said 100 shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I love the Hundreds as a brand. I love, the first time I ever saw the Hundreds was Dom Kennedy, Pac Div, and there was one other rapper on the song, but like they did a music video where everything in the video was Hundreds. Like I'm talking about the carpets, the shirts that everyone was rocking, the hats, the fucking, cause they'll make like vases and they make different ornaments and stuff like that. So everything in the video, it was literally a Hundreds like marketing video, but it was a rap video, full on song, you know, but it was definitely for a campaign. It was definitely for the Hundreds. I know that the Hundreds had a part in it. It wasn't just a bunch of guys getting together, you know, but like that was the first time I saw it. And that grouping of artists and the way that it looked in the song and the fact that like, this brand is getting out through hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
I fucked with them because I'm like, a lot of brands don't fuck with hip hop. A lot of these high fashion brands that everyone rocks don't want black people, Latinos. They don't want
and your clothes in the first place.
Right. They're not looking for that crowd to buy their clothing. You know what I'm saying? So I like supporting brands that do speak to that crowd and do want that crowd in their clothes. Like the Hundreds. The Hundreds is a streetwear brand. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dope streetwear brands. Kith is one of them. You know what I mean? And if you rock Kith, there's a certain crowd that rocks Kith.
Mm-hmm.
And that crowd, if they see like, because these brands, it's like Supreme, bro. Like when Supreme drops a new shirt, the crowd who knows about Supreme, and that shit is now Hypebeast and fucking out of here, but like the crowd who knows about Supreme knows what that shirt that you just bought is. When they see it out, they're going to be like, damn, yo, he got the fucking, the latest drop.
And you know, it was like with something else that I could respect, like even with the song RWMF that you did, like Rich My Friends, like you made fucking driving like a Honda Accord seem like it was the coolest fucking thing in the world. And it is the coolest thing in the world, but it's also relatable because it's like, all right, I'm not in a Ferrari. I'm not in that point in my life where I'm driving these Lamborghinis and shit like that. It's like, I'm perfectly fine with saying, yo, I'm in a Honda Accord because that's what the fuck I'm in.
And I'm gonna be real, like if you are in a 2018 or like a fucking 2022 Honda Accord and you're in your 20s,
you lit.
That's a good car.
Yeah, you fucking lit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, only in rap do we make these like super unattainable priced fucking items. Like, what's cool?
And like, even like sometimes in my music videos, I'll use my actual fucking car and I'll put it in the video because like I'm not hiding that I'm driving a Honda CRV. I don't give a fuck. I'm not really trying to give off that persona that I'm in these foreign cars and all the things of that nature. I don't care about any of those things. I want you to listen to the music.
Yeah, I always found it funny when rappers talked about that because a lot of them are renting the shit for the video.
Mm-hmm.
The same concept of what we're saying about clothing, about how you could buy an outfit for that specific show or that specific video. People will rent a car to pop out to a club. They'll just drive it to the club. It looks like it's theirs. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
They rented it. They're going to, like, if someone is based in LA and they're in fucking Miami driving a Lamborghini, they didn't drive a Lamborghini across the country. You feel me? They rented that, and that's what they're popping out in because they know that people are going to be taking pictures, and the visual of them hopping out of a Lamborghini is fire to them.
And, like, even taking a step even further, like, even with the, as far as, like, jewelry and things of that nature, like, you don't technically have to put on all the chains and all those things. And, like, that was something I definitely used to have in my mind. Like, and for me hearing, like, J. Cole's song Chaining Day, it kind of completely changed my mindset, like, what I wanted to do and how I wanted to look as an artist, which is kind of, you know, crazy how that shit could hit on that type of level. Now it's like, I don't care about having a Rolex or any of those fucking watches. I'm wearing an Apple Watch because I'm a tech dude. Like, I like technology. I'm wearing, like, this little gold chain. It's not even real, but it's a fucking gold, like, black power fist. That's what speaks to me, and it kind of fits more to the image of what my music does. Or how my music feels. And then you see me, well, you know, I have my locks and everything, and I wear these bucket hats, and everything just kind of fits that persona of my laid-back personality. But at the same time, also still showing that part of me is like, yeah, I'm still pro-black at the end of the day, but I still like technology. And, like, all these things kind of just kind of show certain parts of you. It's like, I'm not really dressy, but, like, I like to be laid-back and chill and comfortable. I don't want to put on fucking jeans. If you're wearing jeans, you're crazy.
And also, like, I feel... when people watch an artist music video, the goal for you as an artist is to make them, one, believe you,
mm-hmm.
and one, make them feel like you're cool.
Yep.
Like, you're trying to show them why they should like you, right? So, like, some people are intrigued by someone rocking all Gucci, mm-hmm. right? But some people are intrigued by someone who dresses like a skater because that's what they dress like. And they see someone that speaks to them. They see someone that wears the same type of clothing as them and is getting views and getting plays. And now it's going to become cool for me to be myself, where I don't have to go out and buy a bunch of Gucci because that guy who's just popping up,
mm-hmm.
he wears the same clothes that I wear. He rocks 100 shirts that are $35 or $60. And I could afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, walk into a Gucci store. Just look at a t-shirt.
It's crazy.
Just tell me what the price is.
$4.95.
Yeah, like, we're no normal human being can wear that shit. There's a lot of rappers wearing Canal Street shit. Canal Street is a street in New York City where you can get a bunch of fake designer stuff just for the people that are outside of the...
they don't know. Yeah,
media area. But it's unrealistic that all these rappers are wearing real clothing, real belts, real... You know what I'm saying? And I think that... is it even cool if it's not real?
Yeah, I don't think it's cool, but once again, the persona seems more cool. And then a lot of people don't really understand how the music business works. So it's like, let me just flash these things.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we'll continuously say it. Like, a lot of times you see these people with all these chains, all this clothing, either it's borrowed, rented, or it's completely fake. And that's literally just it. And
I think that's a known thing too.
Yeah, and I think T-Pain keeps talking about, like, that whole shit with him in Future about the... was it the Bugatti? And he was like, yo, you're in my Bugatti. And he's like, after that, Future kind of, like, Dave was really upset with him or whatever the case may be. But it's like, he was being more truthful. And now you see a person like T-Pain who you may think kind of, like, went to the wayside, but it's more so because he stopped doing all the bullshit within the industry trying to fit that image. And that's something he's really been vocal about.
Yeah.
And it just kind of shows. And then, like, even when we're having this discussion, like, when you think about, like, Lil Wayne and, like, kind of his progression as an artist on how he dressed, like, you know, before it was the Baby Napes, kind of like he was from Louisiana, then more to when he got more into, like, the rock shit and the skating vibes, you look at him now, you like, oh, what the fuck, that's not the same Wayne that I used to see before. But that's probably more of him just kind of going into that route and being himself on that avenue.
And again, like, it's cool if you make it cool.
Yeah,
like Wayne wearing skate clothing and trying to be a skater, like, that's...
that opened up a lot of shit.
You got to think about, yeah, you got to think about the whole community of skaters that's out there that now have a voice for them. And not just a voice, they have the biggest voice. Mm-hmm. Like, Wayne is not a small rapper.
Yep.
So for him to embrace the skating community and want to be a part of that, imagine what those people feel like accepting him in.
Because then, like, it could probably, like, be a direct link. I mean, I'm pretty sure Tyler and them are already still wearing those type of clothes.
They're still, they're skater. Yeah.
It's like a direct link. Like, Wayne doing that shit at that point, then they come out. It doesn't seem as abnormal to us. It doesn't seem like, right, yo, what the fuck is going on with this? It's like, oh, shit, I've seen this before. And now this is completely different. And he fits the mold a little bit more so than Wayne had did originally, because what we used to see from him before. So it just kind of all just helps out in the long run.
Yeah. I think that, so to get back to the main point of the episode where we're saying, like, fit the look that that looks like the sound of your music, that could be anything. It just needs to look right. Another example I gave Bales before the episode, G-Eazy. He makes poppy hip-hop records. He's not against, like, I don't think that he cares that he makes those records. I don't think it bothers him much that he makes those records. They work for him, mm-hmm. right? And he looks like he makes poppy hip-hop records.
Like, in my head right now, I see him wearing, like, a leather jacket.
And that's what I'm saying. Like his style right makes sense for that style of music, mm-hmm. right? Like, G-Eazy is probably going to a fucking Vegas pool party and performing next to a DJ. And that works because the crowd there makes sense with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It would be weird if G-Eazy was an underground street rapper dressing the way he does. Then it looks a little different. You know what I mean? It doesn't really fit the style of music. And that shit is important. If you're speaking to a crowd of people, that crowd of people looks a certain way. They do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the people that listen, although Griselda has a huge audience and not just one group of people listens to them, majority of the people who really understand their music, who really come from what they come from, look the same, act the same, dress the same. You yep. know what I mean? It just, it's how we are as a people. Like, we're tribal. We try to find our crowd, our tribe, right? So, like, I'm sure the people who listen to my style of music and gravitate toward it, I'm sure they look a little bit similar to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they act a little bit similar to me. I'm sure the shit that's appealing to them with my music, especially because in my music, I'm very true to myself. Bales is talking about, oh, you talked about a Honda Accord on a song. Because I'm speaking to the average, like, I'm 29 turning 30. I'm speaking to the average 29 turning 30 year old. Like, in America.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking to that human being who, like, when I talk about having debt on songs, they could relate to that. When I'm talking about all the things that are realistic to me in my world, I'm looking for the crowd that understands that because they're also going through similar things. And that's how you build a strong audience, because these people do not just feel that, like, that distant connection. They feel an honest connection. They mm-hmm. feel like, yo, I feel like he's talking directly to me. That's where Drake made his major bag, was that Drake was talking about the relationship shit
mm-hmm.
and he got it down to a T. I was listening to a song from him the other day. It might have even been that Future. Nah, I don't think it was the Future record. I was listening to a song from Drake, and whatever he was talking about on the record, I was like, yo, that literally sounds just like my last relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think Drake actually experienced all those scenarios? No.
Yeah, probably not.
I think that Drake sits there like Martin Scorsese sits there, and I think he writes out these scenarios that apply to X amount of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if he does that enough times, eventually he's going to reach the masses as far as the scenario is going to make sense to someone.
Because somebody I mean? Through the world, so many people in this world, somebody that went through some shit that's similar.
What I'm saying. Like, if you're sitting there writing out stories, like, about a girl, you're writing out, it doesn't necessarily have to be about you. It could be a story that you know applies to people. It could be about a friend of yours. It could mm-hmm. be a relationship that your friend just went through, whether that was good or bad. You can see your friend get married and you can make a love song that has to do with that. And you could really, like, envision their situation and write about their situation in your own words and make it seem like yours. And there's going to be a group of people who just went through that who are excited to listen to that music because it does speak to them and the situation that they're in life, you mm-hmm. know? And that's why, like, I always feel like the attachment that we have, it's more important than just making a hot song over a hot beat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think that a lot of the stuff that you talk about on records should move someone in a certain way. When we were driving to the game today, I said to you, yo, listen to the way that James Blake's production sounds. And I said, it has a feeling. And I feel like a lot of music lacks that feeling. The reason why I like that Glorilla chick
mm-hmm.
is because it's fun. Like, it makes me feel like, this music is fun.
I just want to do ratchet shit with my hood rat friends.
Like, but it's a fun-ass record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think that we're missing that. Like, when we talked about a lot of this type of stuff on the last episode, where it's like, or two episodes ago, where we said, like, you know, I think that people are missing the point of what we're trying to do by marketing ourselves is to, you know, be ourselves and actually like show how talented we are. We're also trying to show who we are, right? So like showing who you are is the way you dress. Showing who you are is the way you live. It's real life scenarios. I feel like we've gotten to the point, like we were listening to that Killer Mike and Young Thug song, right? And Killer Mike is talking about all this like personal stuff. And then Young Thug comes on. He's like, I put Margiela on my bitch. And it's like, did he miss the point
of the whole entire song?
I think he missed the point, right? But that's the style of music that these kids like. And so like a lot of these kids are missing the point. Like, yo, if I send you a well-written out record and it has a topic at hand and it's talking about this, don't send me back a verse that you're talking about diamonds on your watch when it has nothing to do with the song. Like, where did we go wrong that we're missing the point of, yo, songs have value. Like, songs do have meaning. Like, yo, a lot of us were raised, I was raised by hip hop.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my pops wasn't always around the way that he should have been around. And a lot of the stuff that, like, yo, Blueprint One raised me. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, and I'm not saying that it was my father figure and it taught me how to, but like, listening to a grown man talk business and talk all this stuff, like talk about relationships and stuff like that, like it does raise you.
It did
bro.
What it had to do.
You know what I'm saying? I think Drake raised a lot of people.
Oh, definitely.
I think that a lot of these people who actually sit there and pen out these like well thought out songs and these well thought out ideas, I think that they get it. You know what I'm saying? All the biggest guys, the Kendricks of the world, the J. Cole's of the world, like their music holds meaning. And because of that, like they're going to rise to the top because they understand what they're doing, you know?
And like in the midst of you saying all that, like I just started like a bunch of shit started going on my mind, right? And it was just like one of the things with as far as like the topic of how you look is like how many times, like, I'm asking you artists out there, like, or any viewers, how many times have you heard an artist or heard a song, then you looked at them? Or you've seen them and you're like, what the fuck? I did not expect that person to be the person that's behind that song. But then ask yourself at the same time, does that really change your perspective if you're going to listen to that person's music or not? Usually, for the most part, it's really not. But it sometimes can be a shock, like, what the hell is going on? But for the most part, it still kind of stays true. If you like the song, you enjoy the song, you stay able to connect to that artist regardless. Because there's been a lot of fucking artists that I've, like, listened to on them and I've seen them. I'm like, ain't no way in fucking hell that's the person that created that song or the person that's singing the shit. But then it's like, oh shit, it really is. But it's like, it doesn't really change the aspect of, I can't listen to this person anymore because how they look.
Sometimes it does though.
I don't know, man. The first time I heard Snow Allegra, I was surprised the shit that she was not black. But then I was just like, oh shit, she is fire.
Okay, I could understand that. But I do think that there are certain people where they have a dope ass song.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and you see them and you're like, I don't know, man. I think that that image in some ways can turn you off. For instance, if a chick, and this is going to sound shallow again, but if a chick makes this sexy ass song and you go and you're not attracted to her in any way, the song is not less sexy, but you're not going to be as into the song once you see the visual. You know what I'm saying?
I think
that there is an attachment that we do make to the visual aspect of things. And that's why I'm saying, like, I don't think that it should always change your mind about the song, but there are definitely times we've talked about interviews when artists do interviews and you listen, you're like, that dude's kind of a dick.
Mm-hmm. And I turned
and you on, don't fuck with them after that. You're like, I don't want to listen to his music because I didn't like who he was, right? The same thing happens when you see someone. It happens, bro. Think about like all the people on TikTok that comment and then you go on their page and you're like, good voice, doesn't look like he has that voice. Like, it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't fit at all. It doesn't match, you know, not what you would expect from that type of vocal. You know what I mean? And I think that, like, there is a part of the brain that goes, I don't like the way that they look. I like the way that they sound, but I don't like the way that they look. And it might turn you off from listening to the music. Not in every case, but I think it does happen.
Because it's also like the same thing with like 6ix9ine. I think a lot of times when you know, heard the music initially, then you finally seen who the fuck he was or what he looked like. And then a lot of people who were from that environment was like, yeah, I definitely don't think that he's from around here or anything of that nature. Right. And then you know, everything kind of full circle and everything kind of happens the way it happens. It's like, oh yeah, well, we've been seeing that from how we were looking at him in the first place. But at the same time, initially it seemed like, oh, he was fitting the image, but at the same time, it really wasn't. But it kind of just played a part in it, you know, rainbow hair and everything. So it brought that marketability to it. But at the end of the day, it was just like, hey, it doesn't seem natural. It doesn't seem real.
Well, he did a lot of stuff after the fact that, like, he wouldn't have done all the suck my dicks and fuck yous to all those people if he had street credibility.
Exactly.
He was trying to build that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that whole marketing plan was. Like, yo, they saw me now. They don't think that I fit the part. So I got to do a bunch of wild shit, and then they'll believe me.
And that's what we don't want you guys to do.
Right.
We don't want you guys to
do that. And a lot of artists do that shit.
Yeah, still regardless, but we don't want y'all to do that.
When we talk about this topic, what we want you guys to do is sit there and actually, like, come up with a plan. You know, like, make sure that you are putting effort into your visuals and make sure that you are putting effort into the styling of yourself. If you have a fly ass friend, see if they know how you would look. You know, there's people out there who can fit you. There's people out there, like, yo, everyone has different body types, for instance. A lot of the high-end fashion shit that people be trying to wear, like, for instance, your body type is not built for Gucci and Louis Vuitton.
Because all you see is my
stomach. The tight jeans and the tight shirts, it's just not built for your body type. Like, yo, these fashion brands, when you see them have, like, a fucking runway.
All skinny.
It's super skinny. Stick. Like almost, yeah, stick figures, right? And that's because the clothes, like, the reason why mannequins are so frail is because the clothes drape a certain way, and that's who it's built for.
Trying to emulate that same person.
You know what I'm saying? It's built for that skinny type of person, and that's why you don't see a bunch of big people walking on the runway, because the clothing doesn't fit that style of person the same.
And when you talk about, like, you know, if you have a friend who knows how to dress and, you know, trying to see if they can help you try to figure out how to, you know, put yourself together. Usually, like, all artists have fucking a stylist. Like, they don't just be waking up. I mean, some artists do.
Some artists are fly. Like, but I believe that Tyler, the Creator, dresses himself.
I believe Fab dresses himself, too. He may have a stylist.
Nah, he dresses himself, but sometimes that shit doesn't work in his favor. Like, when he be wearing, like, lime green,
it'd be crazy sometimes. But, like, for the most part, artists have stylists. And, like, that's, you know, that's another portion of the artistry within itself. You know, a lot of times, like, oh, this person knows how to dress. Like, more so, someone else knows how to dress, and they're just telling them what to put on and what to do. And it kind of helps fit that image and fit that mold a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you got to be mindful of those things. So you always can ask for assistance with those things. But, for a person like me, it's just like, I don't care. I'm going to wear sweats and a shirt, T-shirt, regardless.
But that might fit you best.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, you might have realized that, like, the high-end fashion stuff doesn't fit my body correctly. Nope. This stuff does, and it makes me look more the part. You know, like, not everyone is going to look great in everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the skate stuff because I like the Hundreds clothing and the streetwear stuff because it's a little bit baggier.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I like having a little bit baggier of a shirt. It's still a size large, but it's not,
fucking like
skin
toy.
Tight on the arm.
Yeah.
Right? There's a little bit of bagginess to it. I think it fits my body type better than the tight clothing does. I have skinny ass legs. I have a big upper body. It doesn't, like, all the tight clothing, I just wind up looking like one of those fucking, like, meathead dudes.
Yeah.
You feel me? It just doesn't look right on my body. So that's important. Like, yo, not again, like, if you're dressing yourself as an artist, just because you see Young Thug dressing in all the fucking YSL clothing or whatever, like, he's skinny and tall. Like, that matches his style. Mm-hmm. It matches his body. Like, I'm sure there's a bunch of artists who can't rock the same amount of fashion clothing that he rocks.
Yeah, because he definitely has the archetype and body type for it. He's literally
the stick. Give you a perfect example. Here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Gunna.
Yeah, gotta be looking crazy.
Okay. Gunna and body Young frame, Thug probably wear the same type of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
One of them looks fly when they wear it. The other one looks fucking nuts.
And Gunna usually always get the ones getting clowned for it.
He gets clowned all the time. And if Young Thug was to wear the same outfit, he wouldn't get clowned for it.
That's true.
Gunna gets clowned because it doesn't match his body type. So he's just like this little puffy dude, and he's wearing like fashion clothing that's tight, and it doesn't fit him. you know? And, yeah. and that's why he gets clowned on. He doesn't get clowned. Like, his easy rebuttal could be, this shirt is $700. These pants are $2,000. It doesn't matter, that's though, because it looks goofy for you. On you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what we're talking about. Like, we're talking about, like, your branding and your marketing and your visuals, they have to, like, match who you are. Like, it needs to fit your style of human being. Like, it needs to actually... And a lot of the believability factor comes from that. Like, if you're... like, for instance, Slim Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to dress like he's from the hood. The music didn't match. Nothing matched. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's just a look when you see him. And that's another perfect example of someone that you saw and you were like, oh, nah.
This ain't it.
You know what I mean? Didn't matter if the song was hard or not. When you saw him, you were like, nah, bro.
And then, like, even, like, you know, Young Thug is, like, for me, my mom, like, the prime example of someone, like, we kind of talked about off camera, like, even though he's the gangster, all the shit, you know, he's facing all the cases and everything of that nature. But even though he has that persona, when you listen to his music, you can understand why he be in dresses. And you can understand why he has this, like, wild fashion sense, because it's like, that still speaks to his music. Yes, the person, you know, the embodiment of him, of who he built himself up to be, is still that, you know, gangster shit, I'm on the streets and everything of that nature. But when you listen to his song, all those melodies, all the things he does with his voice, that's where you start seeing those other forms of clothing that mm-hmm. he puts on. It fits more so in that mode. And it's like, he's more popish as well, too, just as much as he's a rap now, you know. Free YSL.
Andre 3000, great example of someone who makes eclectic music.
And listen eclectic.
And when you look at him, you're like, that sounds right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of artists, if you start to actually, like, look at it, you'll see it. You know what I mean? If you start to actually pay attention to it, rather, you'll see it. Like, you're going to be like, oh, okay, that's why they dress like that. You know what I mean? Because it fits the sound.
And you can even, like, put them in fucking categories and subcategories of, like, well, how these rappers, what they rap about, what they look like, and how that all just kind of folds in all together and how you can, like, really separate them.
And how does that translate to their fan base? How does that translate to their audience? Andre 3000 dressing eclectic gives a lot of people who dress a little odd a voice. If he makes that shit cool to wear whatever, because, yo, if you go to New York City on any given day, bro, you're going to see someone wearing some fucking wild shit.
All the time.
Wild shit. Like an all leather orange outfit. And you're like, that is fucking nuts. But if Andre rocked it, because of who he is, you wouldn't bat an eye. You'd be like, yeah, 100%. That's what he wears, you know?
And like I said, Cole gave a voice to me, well, as far as like the image wise. It's like, bro, I fucking wear Crocs all the time now.
Because Cole is a great example of the opposite. Cole dressed bummy.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to dress bummy. And it gives people that idea that, like, you could still be a top-tier rapper. You could still make hit records. You don't have to dress like Young Thug. You don't have to dress like all these top fashion guys. You know what I mean?
And if I want to do it, I could be on the cover of GQ magazine. But that's if I want to do it. You know, there's always the times where you still want to kind of dress up or, you know, feel yourself a little bit more. But for the most part, you stick true to what you feel is, like, the best for you.
And, like, I want a lot of artists that are at home right now, I want you to just, like, start listing rappers and just be like, I want you to tell me, if you can, in the comment section, just tell me artists. And if we post this clip on TikTok, tell us artists that you feel don't, their sound doesn't fit their look.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually like to look at that list too, but I think that more times than not, like the ASAP Rockies of the world, where you look at them, you hear their music.
He's a pretty motherfucker. He's a pretty motherfucker.
Right. And he's all down with the high fashion brands mm-hmm. and all that. Like, I think that if you start listing these people out and you start listening to their music and then looking at who they are and how they dress, you're going to understand that, like, there's pockets. Like, everyone kind of fits their sound to their look. And I think that that's a good little, like, thing to do as a young artist to kind of see where you fit in the game,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I honestly think that that would help you with your visuals, and I think that that would help you with your marketing.
And it's so funny. I know we're about to probably wrap it up, but this is fucking artist who had, like, a bunch of fucking nails in his head. I don't know his name, though, but I remember.
Tizo Touchdown.
That's crazy that you remember his name.
I think that's his name.
I'm pretty sure it probably is. And it was just, like, it's wild to see that. I think somebody like Tyler was embracing him. I was like, yeah, I understand what he's doing. I understand the route he's going. And then in my head, I'm looking at it like, yo, that's fucking crazy. But at the same time, that's probably more so like that emo rocket shit. And it, yeah.
He's
more,
no touchdown.
Yeah, it's more that emo rocket shit. And it just fits the, it's not something that I would probably be doing. But that's the type of imagery or that's the type of like clothing or that's the type of like the visual that certain kids are growing up looking to want to be like. You know, when you drop it even further to like when you see like Lil Uzi, X, who else was Juice WRLD, all of them, they have that certain look and how they dress and everything. So it's like it all plays a part. And then, you know, sometimes it could be generational, but, you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be some old artist that's probably dressed the same way.
Yeah. And just to reiterate, like, we're not talking about whether you're attractive or not attractive. We're only talking about your style of music and does it fit your style of fashion, your style of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Attraction doesn't matter. Like, you have, at this point, attraction, it's fucked up, but like attraction really specifically matters for females.
Yeah.
In the game.
More so, yeah.
Like, more than anyone. I think that attraction, and you see it because you see the girls getting the fake bodies and you see the girls like, as soon as they become a hit, like, for instance, Doja Cat, before she was, like, a huge pop sensation, like, I watched interviews where she was wearing, like, a hoodie and jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she wasn't dressing the way she dresses now. You know what I mean? But you get on that level, and then they're like, all right, we gotta make you sexier.
Because you see, like, a lot of male artists that be looking crazy, but somehow when you go like, yo, that's my baby daddy. I love him. I'm like, yo, all right, whatever.
Yeah, the Kodak Blacks of the world.
Yeah, you know, the Kodak Blacks, the Flavor Flaves. He had a whole fucking reality show of mad bitches just wanting to be with him. So it's like, you know, it's it works for, you know, certain people. But more so, it's like, unfortunately, it's like the females is kind of, you know, a little bit hard for them. But for the most part, if you are male, it doesn't really have to be so attractive. Because once your music get out there, that level that you said when it kind of connects, personally, I think a lot of people just tend to forget about the looks.
And also for women out there that are listening, like, we're not saying that you can't make it if you're not attractive. Like,
yeah,
there's a
not.
Ton of people who make it that aren't attractive.
You're attracted to somebody in this world, boo.
Right. Like, it has nothing to do with that. We're just saying that it does become more difficult. And for there's a weird double standard that applies to women that doesn't apply to men.
Which is usually universal.
Right. And that happens with kind of everything. But anyways, this is Rapper's Guide Podcast. We're signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.